This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave in for Terry Gross. Now that the financial world has come off its internet high, people have already begun to look back with nostalgia and bewilderment on the 90s and the heady days of startups. A new documentary, Startup.com, tells the story of one internet company's rise and fall. The film is directed by Jahan Nujaim and Chris Hegedus and produced by D.A. Pennebaker. Hegedus and Pennebaker also collaborated on the 1994 documentary The War Room about the first Clinton presidential campaign. Jahan Nujaim came up with the idea for Startup.com when her roommate, Kalail Toosman, decided to start an internet venture called GovWorks. The film follows Kalail and his partner and childhood friend Tom Herman as they struggle to make their idea of linking local government to its constituents via the internet into a dot-com success, and the consequences their business venture has for their friendship. Here's a scene from the beginning of the film. Kalail and Tom have just started pitching the idea for GovWorks to investors, but already their relationship is suffering.
Tom, Kalail, we need to have a strategy discussion immediately. I don't care if I miss the first data meeting and you miss the rest of the day on Sapien, because we're giving different messages to different people, and we can't do that. We can't have a meeting with Strong Capital where we give one message and you walk in the room and say, I disagree, and this is the other way we're going to do it kind of thing. It's really, really painful for me to try to make this successful when I feel like I have to fight at each juncture every single day on the same issues, man. Please call me as soon as you can on my cellular.
When I spoke with Chris Hegedus and Jahan Nujaim earlier this week, I asked Jahan if she thought GovWorks was going to be a winner when they first started filming.
Initially, we thought that we'd be done with this film in 6 months, and they would be hitting their IPO, and they'd all become millionaires, and they'd be funding our next film, and we'd go get to visit them in their amazing mansions in exotic countries. But that didn't happen. But the other side of it was we could see pretty early on that it was going to be an interesting dynamic between Kalail and Tom, because if you think about starting a company where you hire all of your friends and you get investments from your parents and your parents' friends and a number of other people that are important in your life, it becomes a real personal struggle to make the business successful. And you could tell early on that Kalail and Tom were coming from very different places. Kalail had been trained at Goldman Sachs, where you say exactly the right thing at exactly the right time, and was just a very trained business person. And Tom, on the other hand, would come up with these brilliant ideas, but he'd play devil's advocate, and he's kind of an artist in a way, and he'd throw them out, and he'd drive Kalail crazy. And so really, first week after Chris and I started filming, you know, they got into a major argument about needing to stick together as a team. So we could see early on it was going to be an interesting story between the two of them. But we also thought early on that they'd be successful because there were such, you know, there were such hard workers and such ambitious people on the team.
Jahan, could you define for us what exactly the idea was behind GovWorks?
The idea, and I always joke with ex-Gov workers today because I'm like, you guys have all moved on to your other jobs and I'm still talking about what the idea of GovWorks is. You know, it's to facilitate interactions between local government and its constituents. So it's basically to build, that's the quote that Chris and I have heard 500,000 times. And what it is really putting government online, making a town hall online so that you can pay your parking tickets online, communicate with your mayor, and this type of thing.
Which you would think government would want to do itself, that it wouldn't need a startup company to come around and do it for them.
Well, that was what was so frustrating for Tom, because Tom initially wanted to build an engine to be able to sell to governments. The governments would be able to brand themselves. you know, like California would use their engine, GovWorks's engine, but still have a site which looked like California's site. But then what happened was the mantra of the day was kind of like, go big, be God online, be the first to market. And they just had to do everything. And they had to be this GovWorks, which all of the, you know, cities were, and people were going to go to deal with their cities. And that's where the government just didn't, you know, didn't move fast enough and didn't really want to have somebody else branding their site.
So that's how, where the inflation started, right from the beginning.
Right. I mean, the idea was, you know, a little blown out of proportion to what the business plan really was. But I think a lot of the internet sites fell into that because there was such a push to be the biggest one out there and really claim the space on the internet frontier for your idea, and that meant being there first and being the biggest.
But Chris and I would think, like, oh gosh, this is getting to be so big and out of control. But then, you know, we'd sit back, and we're not business people, and we've never been to business school, and then we'd see all of these people investing millions of dollars into the idea, and then Kalel was getting to go sit next to President Clinton talking about the digital divide, and you start to doubt yourself, and you're like, no, this thing is going to really work, because everybody is supporting it. Everyone's right there. And the VCs were totally proponents of them going really big. So Kalel would go out and pitch these ideas and get spurred on from the VCs and then come back to Tom and say, oh gosh, this needs to be built like yesterday. And then Tom would have to run around and change their whole technology because it was a changing business plan. So that's where the difficulty started to arise.
Now, somewhere along the line in all of that, Kalel eventually edges Tom out as co-CEO. And the film really focuses on their relationship as opposed to the ins and outs of the business dealing and the actual building of this website and the application. How did you make that decision as directors to focus on their relationship and what you thought it said about this internet story?
Oh, well, I mean, we always were more interested in, you know, rather than in the process, but what the process does to the people that are involved. So, you know, we were looking at a very personal story, and you know, right off, we knew that it was going to be a story about these two friends. So we kind of stuck pretty closely to watching how their relationship would go. And you know, the effects really of, you know, having to make this incredible choice of, you know, what to do best for the business or what to do best for the friendship. And it became apparent that, you know, there it was going to come to some kind of head at some point because it was exhausting. It was exhausting for both of them. And they were kind of in over their head. You know, there was a lot of unknowns for them. And you could see the strains in the relationship, I think, especially with Tom, who he actually came on board in the company probably 6 months before Kalel left his job at Goldman Sachs to try to kind of figure out how to make the transaction engine and different things. And he had a lot more responsibilities. He had a daughter. And after a while, you could just see the strain of working, you know, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day was really going to, you know, come to someone. And, you know, I think it came to Tom first.
Tom pretty quickly resorted to lawyers to deal with this, his firing, basically. And eventually, Kalel has Tom escorted off the company premises by a security guard. Their relationship seems to deteriorate so fast on film. Is that how it played out in life as you witnessed it?
It was pretty fast that day. I mean, there had been troubles before, which you see between when Tom has these conversations with different people in the office. But the day that Tom had to leave the building, that all happened in a day. And it escalated because all of a sudden Tom felt like he had no control. Here was this company that he started, that it was becoming very clear that he was about to be ousted from. And so he called up for legal advice, and the legal advice was, don't leave the office. You know, don't go anywhere, because once you go someplace, then that could ruin your employment agreement, because they could argue that you've just all of a sudden left your job, so you need to stay in the office. And then Kalel felt all of a sudden like, okay, Tom just told me that he was going to take a leave of absence, and now all of a sudden he's staying in the office, and I'm telling employees that Tom is gone, but Tom is there telling people what to do. And all of a sudden, Kalel felt like he was losing control over the situation. And Kalel, on his side, had all of the legal counsel for the for GovWorks, and had all of the investors and board calling him up and telling him what to do. So it did escalate very fast, and it was a very difficult, painful thing to watch, because here were these two guys who care about each other very deeply, and all of a sudden there were all of these external circumstances and people involved in their lives which were just splitting them apart.
Well, you too must have gotten to know these two men so intimately after filming them 24/7 for almost a year. Were there times during the shoot when you saw things falling apart, or you had an insight into their disintegrating relationship or the failing company, and you thought, I should really step in here and give these guys some perspective? Times when it was hard to stay objective.
Totally. I mean, Tom's mom completely put me on the spot the other day, because we were at the opening of our film, and Tom's whole family came, which was wonderful. And we had a question and answer, and she said, you know, you were basically living with these two guys. How did you remain objective? And all I can say is, first of all, the fact that, you know, Chris was around helped me maintain a little bit of objectivity. But it was really painful for both of us to watch this, especially when Tom and Kalel were splitting up, because we knew things. We knew both sides of the situation. You know, we were both very close to Tom, very close to Kalel, and we knew what was happening on Tom's side and what was happening on Kalel's side. And it's very tempting to step in and say, listen, this is really what's going on. So, you know, can you deal with it with just this knowledge? Just know this, that he cares about you and that his lawyer is telling him this. But you just can't, because you know that there are more conversations that you're not aware of. And you know that you can't play God in this situation, because you can't play with reality, because it's bigger than what you know. So we just didn't. We didn't. I mean, we talked to them. You know, there were a lot of conversations back and forth in the car when we were filming. But we generally didn't reveal, although it was tempting, we didn't talk about any information that we had gleaned through filming, because that crosses some kind of trust barrier that you don't want to be crossing.
In the end, what did Kalel and Tom walk away with? How much had they raised, and what did they have in pocket when the GovWorks was all history?
In the end, they raised $60 million, and they lost it all, basically. They didn't walk away with anything. The only person that really walked away with some money was a third founder that, in the end, didn't leave his job and joined the company, and they made a settlement with him, so he made some money. But other than that, I think everybody lost their money.
What are Tom and Kalel doing now?
Tom and Kalel are back together again. They have a new company called Recognition Group, which advises and consults with companies that are in distress. So they're pretty much learning from what happened to them and, you know, trying to help others with the knowledge.
And they're making revenue. In the first month, they've made revenue. So it's great.
I'm talking with Chris Hegedus and Jahan Nujaim about their new film, Startup.com, about the rise and fall of an internet business. Hegedus, along with D.A. Pennebaker, made The War Room, a documentary about the 1992 Clinton presidential campaign. We'll talk more after the break. This is Fresh Air. Back with filmmakers Chris Hegedus and Jahan Nujaim. Their new film is Startup.com. Chris, I'd like to talk about actually making the film. It's all in cinema verite style with handheld camera. I would think in editing the film, putting it together without a narration track so that it would make sense, that there must have been some challenges with this story because it's so complicated. The thing with the war room, the fact that it was about a presidential campaign that we all lived through, was that to tell the story in Cinema Verite, all you had to do was just remind us of what happened and bring up some campaign posters or use clippings or throw on some newscast footage. But this story about a very particular .com was very complicated and a little hard to follow what was happening when. Was it challenging for you to put it together in a way that you wouldn't lose the audience?
Yeah, but they all are. I mean, that's, you know, one of the things is to make the film seem very seamless. I mean, it was the same thing really in the war room. I mean, some of the problems and things that we were following were also quite complicated and political and detailed. And, you know, the thing is to, you know, to weed through those to the essential elements of what's happening and try to always focus on personality and character, because, you know, that's really what these films are about is character.
Now, some of the scenes were shot in boardrooms and in venture capital firms, and they're notorious for being security conscious. How did you get access to these places? Do you, Chris, have tactics that you learn from your experience on other films?
Yeah, well, we did everything we could to get in. You know, sometimes, you know, we would say we made the war room, and that would kind of impress them because, you know, if Clinton let us in or Clinton's campaign let us in, you know, why wouldn't they? And, you know, sometimes that worked. And sometimes it worked that, you know, Jahan and I were just, you know, these two women, you know, that were following these guys around. And a lot of times, you know, we looked very unthreatening. So they'd think, you know, we'll let them in. You know, it doesn't look like much is happening here but a home movie. So, you know, you use whatever device you can to get in.
And then other people were just like, no way. I mean, the guy where we're filming through the window, we got there, we'd already put radio mics on Kalel and Tom. And the guy said, no, this is going to be a pretty brief interview, no cameras, to Kalel and Tom. But we actually hadn't had a chance to meet him, and we're sitting there listening to what's going on, and they were completely being slammed. And it was the first time that somebody had really, you know, picked their business plan apart. And we were just like, this is just too good. So I ran around the building and found a window and filmed behind the tree and haven't had any repercussions from it so far. So, you know, we'll see.
Now, looking back, do you feel, I don't mean to be crass, I'm sure these are your friends, you cared for these people, but did you feel in any way lucky that you picked a losing proposition?
Well, initially, first of all, we wanted to follow a startup that was going to make these guys into millionaires and follow these guys getting rich. And then we thought this would be really great if this company ended up being really big. There was a huge marketing campaign, and they ended up being the next Microsoft, because then we'd have the story of, you know, the two guys that started in their, you know, little kitchen and then became this amazing company, and this is the behind-the-scenes story. And so we were, of course, you know, had two heads about us when Kalel and Tom split up, because we were very interested in the personal story. And part of you is just torn apart because here are these two guys who you care about splitting up. But the other part of you is, yeah, I mean, it is good for the film. I mean, people were joking later that their misfortune was our fortune. So, yeah, in a way, it was. And definitely when we were editing and all of these .com companies are falling, we realized that, you know, we'd gotten more than just a story about guys becoming rich or just a story about two people and their struggle between their friendship and the business, but we'd covered a whole market bubble. So, yeah, it was. It was lucky.
We just showed the film the other night to Kalel's grandfather, and he called up Kalel on the cell phone after the movie and said to him, you know, Kalel, it was great film, you know, you're wonderful in it, and, you know, and remember, you know, failure builds character.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there is that aspect of, you know,
great.
When you watch people go through something that's really difficult, you know, it is very powerful.
And you see them as human beings. You know, I think that it would be more difficult. I think it would be more, there would be much more criticism out there of them in the press if they'd been these millionaires, you know, because you really see the human side when they have to go through this very difficult time. So I think we were aware of that when we were filming the breakup as well.
Although, I have to say, at the end of the film, it ends with them driving around into the sunset in their SUVs. And it's hard to muster up any sympathy.
Yeah, that's a rent-a-car. Kal-El likes his car.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, he was pretty successful before. He worked for Goldman Sachs for, you know, about 6 months before this. And
well, that's the thing about...
He got a pretty good paycheck from Goldman Sachs.
That's the thing about these stories. They live through a really tough time, but how much did they really risk or lose in the end? They go on, these men and women start new companies, they get new, bigger, and better jobs.
Well, I think you risk a dream, you know? I mean, they really had, a dream there. They wanted to really do something, and, that's what went for them, and I think that's what's more upsetting than any money that was lost.
Chris Hegedus and Jahan Nujaim, I want to thank you very much for talking with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Chris Hegedus and Jahan Nujaim's new documentary, Startup.com, is already playing in New York, opens in L.A. and San Francisco tomorrow, and in other cities later this month. I'm Barbara Bogave, and this is Fresh Air.